The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
1, 2, 3, 4.
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. I could have never seen what was coming for me. Hangs at the skate park, hangs by the beach. My life, it feels like.
Everybody, welcome, my brother and me. It's an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Jingle Justin McElroy.
Ooh, what's up, Trav Nation? Jingle Jangle, old Chris Krangle, Travis, Big Dog.
You didn't do anything.
What's up, Trav Nation?
Ring, I didn't finish.
Ding, ring, ding, ding, ring, ding, ring, ding, ding, ring, ding.
Hark how the bells, sweet silver bells, all seem to say, "Whoa, here's a way." What a formation! I am your middlest brother, Travis, Big Dog, McElroy.
As you certainly guessed, now it's our candlelight spectacular here at the McElroy Ranch. Griffin has frozen completely. No, he's back. Okay.
That was just my body, dude. That was not a glitch.
Brother Snowdown.
I just kind of stopped for a bit.
This is the one that you can gather the family around and say, this is that show I warned you about, and then play it for them. And everybody can have a good time listening because we're not going to swear.
So get your Meemaw, get your Pop-Pop, get little Meemaw, which is what I assume you call the baby, because she's little and wrinkled too. She looks like Meemaw, right? And it's like, oh, that baby looks
baby
a lot
Meemaw.
Like... Get baby Meemaw, get big Meemaw, get medium Meemaw, your middlest Meemaw, all the Meemaws.
Unstack your Meemaws of different sizes.
Yeah, open them up. Get the Meemaw. There's one Meemaw inside each Meemaw until you get down to a little egg. And that's a baby Meemaw inside that egg.
That's the life cycle. Listen. That's the Meemaw life cycle.
That's true.
10 years ago, we invented this holiday, a Candle Nights. That's my understanding.
What did we do the first 4 years?
Huh? We just cursed up a storm every Christmas.
Oh, we were on that Christmas creep, if memory serves.
Yeah, we were on the Christmas creep, and then we eventually invented our own holiday where the money is.
Right.
Yeah.
And we wanted to come to you. I will say this. If you didn't catch our video special, our Candle Nights, annual Candle Nights special, you can still go to bit.ly/CandleNightsTickets2024 and watch it. It's just $5, and the folks at Harmony House could really use your donation. They are the beneficiaries of all ticket sales this year. And so if you want to go watch that special, you can pledge $5. You can even kick in a few extra bucks if you want to be a real
And there's merch. We got merch. Candle Nights posters, Candle Nights ornaments. And like the special, imagine like you're hearing this, right? And you're like, how could it get any better than this? But then imagine just 3 silver foxes coming to you live. And also dad's there. So a fourth, older, much creakier silver fox.
More of a white fox at this point.
A white fox, like a ghost.
Sounds like his Metal Gear Solid, like... agent code name.
Yeah, there you go. Fox. Ghost Old Fox. And then
I really want to see dad dressed up as Old Snake now.
That would kick so much, dude.
Silver
so
Snake. Cool. And then and we've got guests and there's segments and there's a I will just say amazing my favorite Justin, I loved you put in the work and did like 4 different segments.
Oh yeah, I did a lot of segments.
Griffin at Wonderful, they got a DJ.
Yeah,
and
they
Rachel
got a professional
dancing.
DJ in. How
amazing.
Can I compete with that?
A professional DJ and fly dancer, so you can't beat that. Bit.ly/CandleNightsTickets2024, I believe is the
Please go do that. And now we're going to help you.
You're welcome.
The other day, my young nephew asked me if my 17-month-old daughter, quote, has gotten an elf on the shelf yet. I said, not yet, but my husband and I have no interest in having an elf on the shelf or doing any of the work that goes its day-to-day lore. Lore day-to-day. I don't want to do the elf, but I also don't want to spoil anything for my nephews in regards to the magic of the holidays. They live in an active elf home. I feel like I got away with this if my kid is still very young, but I fear next year the same questions are posed. Brothers, any advice on how to keep the magic alive, but not yet bring quite as much of it into my home via an elf? That's from my shelves for books and knickknacks only.
You have control over the mythos in your home.
Sure.
You don't have much control over much stuff in your home, but the mythos you do have control over. If your kid comes and asks, you say, that's made up. You say a lot of the, I know you probably think a lot of the stuff we do seems wild and out of pocket. A man who can go through ventilation into our home to give us free
like
things,
like some kind of solid snake,
like some sort of solid silver white snake, that's pretty far-fetched. You can say, no, that one's real. If you can believe it, that one's real. The elf
that you can buy at Walmart,
you can buy
an he's elf in a at box Walmart? At Walmart.
Do you want Guys. Me to show you the box the elf comes in?
You are pulling at a very delicate sweater, my boys. You're pulling at a real delicate sweater. That's going to raise a lot of questions that you may not feel so jazzed about answering about what is and isn't real. And you may find it's a little easier just to buy the f***ing elf and let him live in your home.
Let me offer this.
The real elf, by the way, just to be clear, the elf is real. Travis and Griffin, they're kidding.
Let me offer this. You tell your child that the elf is only assigned to kids who are kind of on the bubble. Okay. And like Santa's keeping track, needs a closer eye on them for the naughty and nice list. Right? Yeah. But if your fate's already decided one way or the other, no need for an elf.
We have an elf, and I would be comfortable telling my kids that they're kind of on the fence.
They're on the bubble,
They need a little extra help to get them back on the straight and narrow.
I would say, and this is why screen time is so important, I would simply load up their iPads to the Wikipedia article for the Elf on the Shelf. If I may, this was a book and toy that came out in 2005. This is not it's not even 20 years old yet. Christmas tradition, this does not make. I refuse to let this tiny little embodiment of the police state into my home to watch my kids and have to be in all kinds of wild scenarios. I'm climbing out of the blender today. Woo!
I think that's adorable when people who subscribe to Santa grouse about the police state in relation to the Elf on the Shelf.
That's different. Santa's just a judgmental neighbor.
Santa's a man who's watching everything you do and deciding whether or not you get gifts. You cannot draw this like, I don't want some space cop. That's Santa.
But okay? I don't get to choose. Santa, to Griffin's point, I don't get to choose if my kids are like know about Santa.
Yes. Santa's omniscient, right? There's nothing we can do about that. Elf on the Shelf infringes upon my Fourth Amendment rights in a direct and physical, tangible way.
I don't have to install a Santa simulacrum in my house to watch my kids.
I want you to know that if your adorable kids walk into my home and start talking a bunch of yay about Clarice and her relative realness, I will hang your kids out to dry as the heretics that they are. I will say they aren't getting
that's fair, Justin. I get
they're
that.
Bad kids.
Okay. Here's all
liars
I would do.
And bad kids. They're confused.
I would load up on my kids' iPad every TikTok video I see related to Elf on the Shelf, which seems to be
I just want to be clear. Are you downloading TikToks, Grandma?
I don't know. But there's one of two. They're always in one of two veins, which is one. Looks like the elf destroyed your toy, ate your food, cut up your pajamas. What a jerk. Or two, a child, a younger sibling usually, has touched the elf, and now everyone's lives are ruined.
Yeah. It's hard to have kids, for sure. They're always touching things and screaming, but sometimes you just got to get the elf and move them around. You know,
I've never seen a single video of a child like going, "I love that this elf."
No, they're bad. They're objectively bad.
I
want to
know about the algo you're freaking surfing on, dude. Where you're getting Elf on the Shelf snuff films. TikTok. Oh man, it's late at night. I want to just see some kids touch elves and watch them perish.
My TikTok is like, oh, you like videos where it looks like the dog is having a conversation with this person? And you love, oh, this toddler said a funny thing? Cool. Here's a child killing magic in their home. Did you like that?
Why is it better than watching Travis kill magic when he looks at his dogs and says it's just a toy? That's magic killing.
I didn't advocate for it's just a toy. I advocate for on the bubble.
On the bubble. Okay.
And that's not one of the real elves. That's a store-bought version.
But I see the color of your monitor flashing as you desperately search for
something. I was just reading the Wikipedia article for the elf on the shelf. Frankly, my dudes.
If you give your kids Wikipedia access, you might as well move out.
That's a good point. I'm not going to crack that open.
Yeah.
It's over. I'm just saying, it seems like we could come up with a way, way cooler elf on the shelf that would then turn into its own sort of multimedia, like Uber franchise, in the way we got a stuffed animal once, and it was an official elf on the shelf Saint Bernard, and he came with his own book about how the elves on the shelves use these Saint Bernards to store up Christmas spirit so that they can use it when they, I guess, spy on the kids for Santa Claus later in the year. And we didn't know what elf on the shelf, well, my kids didn't know what elf on the shelf was. To them, this was like getting a Battle Cat without a He-Man knowledge. And so that's their entry point into the series.
We should, okay, what about this? Hey, okay, parents, I'm going to do it for you. No, you don't have to buy anything new, right? What you're going to do is just every year pick a different toy that already exists, and you're going to wire them up with a microphone.
Cool.
And you're going to tell your kids that there's a mole. Santa's got a mole on the inside, and that's you don't know which one it is, and now It's you got to find that mole. Who's the confidential informant? Who's narking on him? You know what I mean? And then it's like, oh, sure. What's that? Oh, Raggedy Ann is wearing a wire, right?
I don't know if the concern here was we're going to have to spend a bunch of money on elves. I think it's probably my concern would be I'm going to have to think of clever like situations for this little scamp to get into every day. For me, that's the point pushing against it. Because otherwise, you could just say, yeah, there's an elf on the shelf in our house now. He's really
lazy.
Really good at hiding.
He's the best in the
world. Oh, I see.
Really good.
I don't think you guys have fully appreciated one thing, that there is a good 3 to 4 minutes every morning that my kids spend looking for the elf that they do not spend talking to me.
But how much time of your own private time did you spend looking like out of the bread box? No, we've done that.
No. Griffin, you're confused. Hi, Justin. That's his problem.
Also, I'm pretty sure the elf moves on its own, Griffin. The elf.
He's great at it. He loves it, honestly. He loves the challenge.
I'm curious what Hi Justin brings to this operation.
Yesterday, the elf was hanging upside down the lamp, and underneath where the elf was hanging, I put a pile of mini M&Ms, and I said, Sid, does that read?
Like you threw up?
Or like think these fell out of his pockets. I think it
reads. That's kind
of
what I was going for. Oh, okay. I spit a good 2 minutes, let's be fair, 90 seconds, trying to figure out how to suspend an M&M in midair to have, like, the effect.
Oh, cool.
You know, yeah, land. Some but craft glue. No, it's just a fun little tableau. You know what? I don't actually mind doing it because it makes my kids happy.
Come on. You don't have to do this.
All right. Okay. You can't pivot from 3 to 4 minutes where my kids don't talk to me, too. Yeah. I do it because it makes my kids happy.
I contain multitudes. My brother-in-law messaged me, letting me know what he got my husband for candle nights. It's not something he'd like at all, to the point where I'm not sure where he came up with the idea.
Yes.
It's slightly more my speed, gotta catch them all, you know how it is, but barely. What is the best way to lie to my brother-in-law to tell him the gift is fine without laying it on too thick? He'll love it is so far beyond the truth that I can't bring myself to type it. Please, brothers, I've already pretended I haven't seen the message for like 15 minutes. I can't go silent for too long. That's from Present Panic in the Palmetto State.
I will say this about parenthood. This is one thing that you got to confront pretty quickly. Because
yeah.
We get a lot of these texts, I would say, every year from multiple people. Yeah, I'm going to get Henry here, The Complete Works of William Shakespeare. Don't do that.
But Griffin, he won't
like that.
In there, you hit the nail on the head. First of all, question asker, you're not in the wrong because your brother-in-law texted you past tense, I got this for them already. That's where they messed up. It's got to be.
You can say is, oh, he'll love it.
Right. At that point, just say, oh, sounds great. Oh, he'll love it. But that's why you text and say, I'm thinking about getting this. I'm going to get, this is what I'm looking at.
Yes.
Would they like this? Because once they've made the purchase, I'm not going to give you negative feedback at that point.
Yeah, of course not.
But you don't want to ruin Christmas. Christmas is going to be ruined for one of these two people, the gift giver or the gift receiver, right? Because if you get it, guys, we're all adults here. The presents aren't even what it's about for me anymore.
Okay, it's the money?
Applause, please. Just a little recognition that what I said was pretty huge. and pretty like cool, I thought. It's not even about the presents for me anymore. But if I get a real stinker of a present, thank you, Travis. Thank you.
You're welcome, Griffin.
I thought I cussed and you were clapping to Mark.
No. That's why I didn't clap the first time, but then you seemed to really need it.
You needed it.
And that's I did need
Christmas
it.
It's not even about that's the presents. Grown up Christmas wish.
I'm kind of grown up now because for me, it used to be about all the presents.
Yeah.
Okay, but so what's it about now, Griffin?
Now.
Religion?
But it's not about religion. It's about, I guess, the time you spend with your family.
Opening presents?
Not even about that for me anymore. But if I do get a real stinker of a present, I'll be in a mood. How could you really? Get me? How could you get me so? How could you get me?
I don't
me,
think that's true what you're saying.
I wouldn't be in a mood, but you may be referenced. I will say there is definitely a historical reason to believe this, that you will be made the butt of a joke for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll say this.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a real wild pull. Yeah. If it's like, what? Why would I want these like Hummel figurines or whatever, right? That's going to be referenced.
I love our dad. I think I'm on record saying that in a lot of places.
Yeah.
I love you, Dad. Dad might see this or listen to this. I love you, Dad.
Yeah. Griffin has been clear about that since at least 2021.
I'm
yeah,
huge loves on that. Dad. COVID, I really did a lot of work
really,
to love
him. He fell in love with his dad. All
I love my dad yeah. as of COVID. But one Christmas within the last decade, so as an adult man, dad came up to me after the Christmas stuff was done and had another little present for me. He's like, here, this one's for you too. I forgot to put it under the tree. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Thinking like, here we go, Red Ryder BB gun. It's a Nintendo 64. There's something little special, something else that Santa sneaked away there. And I open it up and it was a biography about Frank Sinatra, Old Blue Eyes.
Heck yeah. Was it the way you wear your hat?
I guess the way I wear my hat and my cool general.
No, book.
Oh, no, I thought you were saying, why did dad think that?
Do you wear your hat in an interesting and unique way?
I don't know how to say this more clearly. I don't care about Frank Sinatra or that whole vibe at all. I think it's so boring and I do not understand it. I think he sucks and he's boring. He's the Snoopy of dudes. And dad, apropos of, I don't even like books, especially not biography books about a dude I don't like.
Yeah. Dad, we didn't have a ton of money growing up. And a lot of times dad would have promotional items from the radio station that people would send for like review that would end up as like, well, who is this the best suited for? Like you might end up with a season one of Billy Ray Cyrus's Doc on DVD, for example.
And yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, I guess I do have a DVD player. It's a good call.
Yeah, that's a good fit.
The point of that story being that when we do reference like a way out of pocket present pick, me and Rachel do usually use a Frank Sinatra biography as shorthand for what that would be, which is a gift, which is a kind thing to give someone an inside joke, even if you are the butt of it.
I remember a year after Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl came out, which I saw in theaters 9 times.
Was that the first one?
Yes, correct. Okay. And dad got us all replica swords. And if I remember correctly, you guys got, I don't know, like the Sword of Gondor or like the Bride's Blade, you know, Tori Hanzo.
I got the Buster Sword, dude.
The Buster Sword. And then I opened mine, and it's like this 4-foot-long broadsword where the hilt was a huge skull and crossbones, and you could pull two of the bones out, and they were daggers.
Yeah.
And dad said, you know, this is a replica of the sword from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, that's that one good. That was a good
And
year.
It simply is not. It simply is not from Pirates of the Caribbean. Yeah. And
is there
also
a notable sword in Pirates of the Caribbean? A beloved sword?
There is a sword. Or two, they use swords quite often. None of them are like two-handed broadswords with a giant skull.
You don't see
in the
Orlando
middle of
Bloom bring out
Travis.
It did rule, but I was also in college in Oklahoma and I had to fly back and forth for school.
Yeah.
And I know that you can check some things in a bag. I did not have a suitcase capable of checking a 4-foot-long, 2-handed broadsword.
Get an extra seat for your steel.
What I love about that story is it does cover both ends of the surprise out-of-pocket present gambit, which is that me receiving the Buster Sword, that was a very good Christmas present. Yeah. That one hit real good. I used that to cut up watermelon in my first apartment I lived in. That thing ruled.
I remember that.
That was good.
What's fun is if Dad is listening to this right now, I know that that pirate sword big skull thing is hanging on the wall of his office, yeah. And he's probably looking at it right now, maybe realizing for the first time that it is not a replica sword for Pirates of the Caribbean, and in fact, just a giant pirate broadsword.
Yeah. You guys remember, hey, you guys remember when we found that sword behind the bushes?
I do.
Can I ask you about that? I just think
this is you're about to like establish some deep, deep McElroy lore that I can't believe is not out there.
Travis, remember? Okay,
I remember it.
Okay, so we all remember at one day. So in front of our house, our ancestral home on 10th Street in Huntington, West Virginia, there was rose bushes outside the porch. And one day we went behind the bushes, and that was a thing. Going behind the bushes was an issue, right? You had to really get back there. It was a whole production. You'd usually get poked by thorns. So nobody wanted to go behind the bushes. But one day we went behind the bushes, and we found a without knowing anything about swords, like it looked like a Civil War era saber.
Correct.
Right?
That's yeah. exactly how I would describe it. Very beat up. Like the, very I remember the
sheath was
the scabbard,
apart.
Like the end of it was like broken off.
Yes. Yeah, so here's what I want. And so we, for years, as you can imagine, being young boys, finding a sword behind some bushes, it's like incredible. And we, for years, like we had this sword, we talked about it, wondered about it. It is occurring to me now, Trav and Griff, talking through this, Dad definitely bought that sword and didn't want Mom to know he bought it.
100,000%.
There's
Justin.
Guys, I'm 44 years old, yeah. And I realized 20 minutes ago, Dad definitely bought the sword.
Bought it like an antique store or a rummage sale or something.
And he put it behind the bushes as a fun little thing, or because he didn't want Mom to be mad at him. It was one of the two.
Whoa, a sword? How weird. How I guess I should here? Keep this in my
I
room.
I guess it chose me.
Hard disagree, guys. I think a big Civil War fight happened outside our house. And I think a general from
in the year 1994?
Yeah.
No, in the
because it wasn't there when we moved
and
in.
And it wasn't buried, Griffin. It was just sitting on the ground.
You don't know it
ground.
Wasn't buried, and tectonic shifting pushed it upwards. Oil.
We had a 3.3 earthquake here in Huntington this week.
It happens. It unearths old Civil War swords every time that happens. There's a whole strata of them under the surface. It doesn't take
Habits
much for one of them to perk up. And so this sword, which does have magic properties, was very real and a relic. And I don't know where it is right now. If it got thrown away, did it get thrown away? Probably. It was an old sword. It was pretty beat up.
And it was definitely for the Union, so don't ask. So.
It was a magic Union blade.
Hey, everybody. It's holiday season. And you know what that means?
It means
holiday specials.
Yeah.
And who makes the most beloved holiday specials? Well, that's right. Rankin Bass. But what you may not know, folks at home, Rankin Bass has a huge list of specials that they have made that you may not have heard of. And so I would like to play a little game that I'm calling Rankin Bass or Stankin, and I have to say butt here, but I think you can infer.
Rankin Bass or Stankin Butt.
I think you're able to infer.
I think that is basically, you made everyone think a cuss, which is like
that's
in
good.
Some ways worse than
unless
saying
they don't know it. That's if they already know it, that's their fault.
If they think the cuss, it's on them.
Yeah, I'm going to give you three titles. One of them is an actual Rankin Bass special. And two of them I have made up. This is inspired by, of course, Telly Title Tellers, which you may have seen on
McElroy Family Clubhouse.
Okay, first round. I got four of these. You ready?
Four rounds or four titles?
Four rounds, three titles each.
Okay, for a total of 12.
Sure. Just like there are months in the year. Think about it, folks.
Sure, if you say so.
Sure.
All right, John Nash.
All right.
Calm down.
Willie Mays Hayes and the Say Hey Kid. Hank Aaron and the Wind-Up Toy Boy, Nolan Ryan and the Cat with No Name.
That's cool. All those are cool
this
names.
This is, wow, Trav, I didn't think you, I was expecting like Year Without a Santa Claus or something.
Give him one more time, because all I heard was just like names flying past me.
Okay, Willie Mays and the Say Hey Kid, Hank Aaron and the Wind-Up Toy Boy, Nolan Ryan and the Cat with No Name.
I gotta do
I can probably say the wind-up toy boy, not the wind-up toy boy.
No, there's no way to say it that way. It is, I feel pretty strongly as Hank Aaron in the wind-up toy boy. That hits right.
I think the Say Hey Kid, that seems so weird.
Willie Mays sounds like the oldest one, and Rankin Bass movies are
pretty old.
What do you got, Trev?
It is Willie Mays and the Say Hey Kid. A guardian angel agrees to help Willie Mays win the National League pennant if Mays agrees to take care of Veronica, a lonely, mischievous orphan girl. Veronica makes Mays' life difficult, but when relatives show up to claim her after hearing that she's inherited money, Mays' heart softens.
Wow.
Is this an animated film?
It is.
Cool. It's the ABC Saturday Superstar Movie.
Okay, you ready for the next one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Fairy's Holiday Trove, The Leprechaun's Christmas Gold, or The Mermaid's First Christmas?
First, what was the first one again?
The Fairy's Holiday Trove.
And the second one again, what was that?
The Leprechaun's Christmas Gold.
And go ahead and give me that third one more time.
The Mermaid's First Christmas.
It's the first one, I think. The Fairy's Holiday Trove. That's my guess. I think that is... I don't know, trove just seems like a strange word for you to use.
Yeah, for sure. I really like the Leprechaun's Christmas Gold a lot because I feel like there's a lot of story potential there. So I'll pick that one.
Griffin is correct. Really? And I actually love this movie. It's on a weird Rankin-Bass collection we have that includes the Frank L. Baum, The True Story of Santa Claus, that includes him becoming immortal because a band of fairies gives him immortality. But in The Leprechaun's Christmas Gold, a young Irish boy on a ship passing by an island realizes it's Christmas, and he paddles a boat over to get a Christmas tree, and in digging it up, frees a banshee from her prison, and she tries to steal Christmas gold, and she's a shapeshifter, and the only way to know is she's always crying. And with the help of St. Patrick, the leprechauns have to trick her into turning to liquid so they can replant a pine cone to trap her back under a Christmas tree.
This movie sounds lit, actually.
Rules. Yeah, it's so good. And has some great songs in it. But my favorite is the casting where Art Carney plays Barney Killarney. And just saying it makes me so happy.
Yowza.
Okay, next one. Tommy McBlunder and His Marvelous Wonder, Willie McBean and His Magic Machine, or Susie McCarvel and Her Miraculous Marvel.
Willie McBean sounds it hits. I'm nostalgic for Willie McBean, and I don't even know who he is.
But is that because you're
thinking of Willie Beamish, the Sega CD point and click adventure game? I don't know. I thought of that.
What do you think, Justin?
It's in your brother's heart somewhere. I think it. Say the name for
Tommy McBlunder.
But look in my eye. Take your sunglasses off.
They're just regular glasses. I can't read it. I can't read it. Tommy McBlunder and His Marvelous Wonder.
Put them back on.
Willie McBean.
Hair down. Glasses off.
Tommy McBlunder and His Marvelous Wonder. Willie McBean and His Magic Machine. Susie McCarvel and Her Miraculous Marvel.
I'm going to say Susie McCarvel and Her Miraculous Marvel.
The correct answer is Willie McBean and His Magic Machine. The film tells the story of Willie McBean, a young schoolboy who teams up with an anthropomorphic monkey named Pablo to prevent the villainous Professor Rasputin von Rotten from changing the history of the world using the newly created and duplicated magic time machine.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
So right now, it's 2-1, Griffin leading.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
It's this sad at the end of that movie when Pablo gets pulled into the time fan, which is the sort of propulsive force on the machine, and his body's destroyed and scattered throughout history.
But there is one molecule of Pablo
in everything. We are all Pablo. Yeah.
We are all Pablo.
Breathe in that monkey's red juice.
Okay, here's the last one. The Godzilla Show, the Ultraman Show, or the King Kong Show?
I think Rankin-Bass did a... What was the first...
The Godzilla Show, the Ultraman Show, or the King Kong Show?
I feel like Rankin-Bass would have done... I feel like they would have gotten Japanese companies to do the first two properties. To me, I feel like an American company would have gotten King Kong. Or they might be an English company, by the way. I would say King Kong.
I like Ultraman.
Me too, he kicks butt.
So, yeah.
You know.
I'll say him.
You'll say Ultraman? Justin's correct. It's going to tie it up. We're ending here on a tie. Everybody wins. In this, the King Kong Show, in this series, the giant ape befriends the Bond family, with whom he goes on various adventures.
James Bond?
Heck yeah. Cool. Fighting monsters, robots, aliens, mad scientists, and other threats. Unlike King Kong's destructive roles in this film, the cartoon turned him into a protector of humanity. Now, what's interesting, Justin, is you got the answer right, but for the wrong reason. This was actually the first anime made by a Japanese company for American audiences, teamed up with Rankin Bass, written by Rankin Bass, but animated in Japan and sent over here. There were a lot of those, by the way. They made several like kaiju-style movies written by Rankin Bass, but made in Japan.
In this one, King Kong wanted to be a podiatrist, and he had to leave Skull Island in order
Did you know Rankin Bass made Thundercats?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But I also never really cared to find out.
Okay. Cool.
Fun energy.
I'm not saying that. No. I'm not saying I resent what you just did for me. I'm saying I personally would not have sought that information out. I'm not mad that you've given it to me.
On that cheerful, high energy note, we will take a break. And follow
I'm not saying the content is bad, Justin. I don't like being characterized like I say the content's bad. I think
the
content's great.
We left the room.
Would I have done it? Not on my own, no.
It's better with you.
I'll tell you what you could do on your own, Griffin, and that's find a doctor. Thanks to ZocDoc, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I went on ZocDoc, and it's a shame that this is our Candle Nights episode, because there's some ideas that are about to be expressed that may be challenging for young ears, but to get a special sterilization operation, I went on ZocDoc. Do you guys understand what I'm saying?
And it wasn't mandatory. This wasn't like a state enforcement.
Was it mandatory from, as a client, ZocDoc wasn't like, and also, if you could go use our service to find someone.
In order to use the service, we will pay you.
Go ahead and say, Justin, $25.
I don't think it's a good look. I don't think ZocDoc won't even make you get a surgery that you don't want to get.
That's true.
100%.
No.
They're really flexible about that kind of thing.
They did genuinely help me find my number one dude at this point, who did my vasectomy, and just a really bang up job, really spectacular. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high quality in network doctors, choose the right ones for your needs, and click to instantly book an appointment. That's what I did. We're talking about in network appointments with more than 100,000 healthcare providers across every specialty, from mental health to dental health, eye care to skin care, gonad stuff. Do you know what Henry calls
stuff?
I have to share this, guys. Do you know what Henry refers to? And he knows it's not right. Like, he knows it's not a good thing to call your privacy something other than, like, the technical, like, terms we try to enforce that. But he started calling it his gunky stuff. And that's really terrific. That's really terrific.
That's good. That's
really good. When we say anything else at this point, he's trying to get it started, which I appreciate as a fellow content creator. Anyway. So much more. ZocDoc appointments happen fast, within 24 to 72 hours of booking. For all your gunky stuff, you can even score same-day appointments. Stop putting off those doctor's appointments. Go to ZocDoc.com/mybrother to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/mybrother. ZocDoc.com/mybrother.
You know what's coming up, folks? A new year.
Mm.
And it could be time for a new look.
Ooh,
maybe change your look up with Stitch Fix.
Yes.
Sometimes, man, there's been stuff that Stitch Fix has sent me that if I were, like, just in a store shopping for myself,
yeah,
I don't even know if it would have caught my eye, because I would only be thinking about, like, the stuff I normally wear. And then, like, I get that and I'm like, huh. And I put it on and I'm like, yes, I would wear this every day.
Absolutely.
If I could.
I'm H2T in Stitch Fix pickups for my last box today. And it is
amazing.
I like that sweater. Thank you.
It's from a brand I had bought clothes from before, not through Stitch Fix. And Stitch Fix was like, has me so dialed in that they were like, we know exactly what you like. And they were right.
And that's because you work with a stylist, a personal stylist, who's going to, like, take the things that you say you like to wear, your budget, your size, your style, all those things into consideration, pick out stuff just for you, no subscription required, send it to you, and then you can pick and choose which of those pieces you want to keep and only pay for the stuff you keep, or keep the whole box if it all works for you, but you send back the rest, you only pay for what you keep. It's an amazing service that we have all been using for years and years now. Go sign up with Stitch Fix, try something new, Make style easy. Get started today at stitchfix.com/brother. That's stitchfix.com/brother. A right down the middle, normal Candlelight's advertisement.
It's a normal one for a change.
Hey, it's John Moe from Depression Mode. Every week on our show, we have honest, humane conversations with artists, entertainers, and experts about what it's like to live with an interesting mind. I just interviewed Gavin Rossdale from the band Bush. You might be wondering, what would a successful, handsome, popular musician know about mental health? Turns out, lots.
All the time, we're forced into happy situations, sad situations, challenging situations. Happy, sad, challenging. And it just never ends. And why should it? You know, we're just the sum of all these journeys.
Check out Depression Mode with John Moe every Monday at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you been looking for a new podcast all about nerdy pop culture? Well, I have just the thing for you.
Secret Histories of Nerd Mysteries is a weekly pop culture history podcast hosted by me, host Austin.
And me, host Brenda. We've already tackled mysteries such as what happened to the puppets from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Is Snoopy Mexican? And why do people hate Barney so much?
From theme parks to cartoons to 80s, 90s, and 2000s nostalgia, we tackle it all.
Check us out every Tuesday on MaximumFun.org and wherever you get podcasts.
Hi, Brothers McElroy. This year for Christmas, I'm getting both of my parents some video games on the Switch we have in the house.
How far we've come.
I've already figured out the games. The only issue is I bought them digitally, so there isn't actually anything I have for the video games to put under the tree. Just saying like, hey, I bought games, but you can't unwrap them. They're digital. Feels awkward. Any solutions will be appreciated. That's from wrapping in Washu. I mean, I personally would love for my kid to hand me their homemade Snipper Clips box art. I think I would. That would really mean a lot to me if they made their own
little good
Snipper Clips box. Get a, you know, boring clothes box and just draw on it the game art and then wrap it up.
Yeah.
And then they're going to be really excited to get a little art from you, too.
That's way better than what I was going to say.
Oh, Travis, no, don't say that. You don't know that.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say, find an empty box with like a cool present, but it's just the box. And when you look at it, you're like, oh my God, you got me a cool. And then they open it, it's just a note that's like, I got you Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
It's on your Switch already.
Yeah, I should let you.
Yeah, you encouraged me to say it after I admitted yours was better.
I shouldn't have made you say that.
I don't understand why you made me do that. It wasn't very kind. I had conceded. And
you actually can't give anyone a digital gift. I'm so sorry. It's the one. It's the only thing. And I get it. Like, holy crap. It would be so much easier and better for everyone if we could just say like, and also, I bought you a digital copy of that movie you like so much and have it hit. But it hasn't hit ever.
It's hard. You just can't do it, though. I mean, it would be nice, but you can't do it
because it's not real and they don't own it. Is the only other thing because it's a license. Because the gift I've given you is I've temporarily, because of my money, allowed you to
rented you a license to play Snipper Clips.
Yes, for now. Until this store goes belly up, and then who knows? Who knows at that point?
Well, that's why you download it and then you take your whole thing off the grid.
Yeah.
And then they can't take it back.
I give you a fully jailbroken.
That's why I'm downloading all my TikToks now. I'm just going through and downloading every TikTok I can while there's still time.
Yeah.
And just saving them all. Then eventually I'll have my own offline TikTok. And
that's
the legend. There would have been time now. I can scroll through every TikTok till I reach the end.
I am not worried about the ban, you guys. I will just get access to Travis's private stuff.
Yeah, man.
Travis's special stuff.
My TikTok is finite. The only new TikToks after all I will be my own that I make, where I'm just going to take old TikToks and remake them my own image.
Yeah. There's not a digital gift you can give that's going to hit. But you could give a small gift, really anything. You could hand them a little toy capsule and say, Merry Christmas. Also,
capsule?
Also, I got you digital Snipper Clips. No, there would need to be a toy or prize or present inside. You give them a little, here's a candle, okay. And also, I got you Snipper Clips. Awesome. You can't do either one of those on their own. I got you a candle, okay. Turn on your TV. There's snipper clips on it. Oh, cool. Together.
No, this is great. You could have given them a thing that they liked, but it's you've given them a thing and also something the thing they
that like. They like. So you've tied, the good present to a tangible object.
Yeah, so you've tied an idea that candle. They, a concept.
Right.
The illumination and scent of the candle is secondary. The value of the candle is its symbolic attachment now, to snipper clips.
You do have to be careful, though, because sense memory is very strong. And like everything every time I think about EverQuest, I immediately think of the Dave Matthews Band album Crash, which I listened to on a boombox after getting it for Christmas while playing EverQuest.
Shoof, Travis, so now that was,
the two.
Hold on, can I catch my breath from that story you just told about your childhood? Yeah. I need a minute to recover from what crashed you just into him. Sort of
yeah, the two are inextricably linked in my mind. Okay, EverQuest cool. And Dave Matthews.
All right, cool. Go on. Cool life.
Thanks, brother. Happy candlelights to me.
Cool part of your
I don't sorry. Still do that, Griffin.
No, I know. I have, cool part of your life.
I have friends and family now that I spend time with, and sure. I've moved on. That was me at like 15.
Yeah, so whatever. Sad. I know, to think about.
No, cool. What? No, at the time, it was very cool.
Yeah, awesome, man, for sure.
Yeah, we're sufficiently bummed.
You did stuff, too. We've all had periods we're not proud of.
Yeah, man, I don't talk about it on our huge podcast, man.
I guess I'm just more vulnerable and open to sharing who I am.
Yeah, I guess so.
I'm not ashamed of who I used to be.
I am. I put him away. He's gone.
I killed that Griffin.
I didn't kill him, but he sure ain't going to get talked about on this podcast against my will. No way. Thanks. Can't do a digital gift.
Yeah. I want a munch squad. I want to munch squad. Welcome to Munch Squad's podcast, the podcast profiling the latest and greatest of brand eating. I thought here, this late into the year, we'd be talking about the holidays, the Yule still.
Yeah.
And then look who strides into the room yesterday.
Oh, no.
Ready to get. Just like absolutely upset the apple cart. I'm going to open the image and I'll just like, and I think that this one speaks for itself. There it is.
Wait, hold
there
on.
There it is, guys.
Hold on.
Taco Bell nuggets.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's happening.
Whoa.
And they've coupled nuggets with. Maybe the most unhinged press release I've read all year.
Can I just say, just first blush, first look, what's wild to me, Justin, they look like perfectly normal, maybe even above average nuggets.
Yeah. They're going to be, so let's hear about it.
There's no like weird taco-fied, we wrap these.
Well, let him finish.
Oh boy.
In a world where chicken nugget loyalty runs deep, Taco Bell is daring to push the boundaries of innovation yet again with the introduction of crispy chicken nuggets.
I appreciate that. Can we just say, first of all, when you try to slip them in there like bites or popcorn,
they're nuggets. And it's a lineup of irresistible dipping sauces that's sure to challenge people's devotion to their typical favorites.
Oh my God. They're going to lead me astray? They're going to cause me... Oh, to be a philanderer to my chicken nugget commitments?
If you're listening, Griffin, then let me let you hear this. Entirely distinct, yet universally familiar. The tender,
haunting,
all-white meat chicken bites are marinated in zesty jalapeno buttermilk flavor.
What?
That's weird. Let's talk about that.
You don't have a spicy variant. For a moment. This is spicy, sorry. It sounds like.
That's weird, but listen. The chicken bites are marinated in zesty jalapeno buttermilk flavor. That shouldn't be a flavor.
No.
It should be jalapeno buttermilk. It shouldn't be the essence of jalapeno buttermilk.
Those seem like two things that would cancel one another out, right? Like if I ate jalapenos and I had a spicy mouth and then I drank some milk, it would cool that down.
Well, what they've done, Travis, is they've also breaded with a blend of breadcrumbs and crunchy tortilla chips.
Huh.
To deliver the ideal balance of flavor and crisp that take the everyday chicken nugget to the next level.
I'm still here, man. I have it run for the door. I'm still here, man.
But it is important to me to know if they're spicy, because there is the word jalapeno in there.
Well, and if I took
my kids, this feels like a weird prank to pull on my children, where I'd be like, you guys like chicken nuggets, right? Here you go.
Yeah. What's a nugget without an epic sauce pairing? In its culinary journey to find the perfect complimentary sauce, Taco Bell tested over 100 sauces to curate not one, but three irresistible dip pairings. Introducing the exclusive new Hidden Valley Fire Ranch sauce, a brand new signature Bell sauce, and a sweet and hot jalapeno honey mustard sauce.
You're not giving me a lot of safe road to walk here, Taco Bell. I'm so interested, but you are like, now that we've hooked you, do you want to eat poison, or poison for your
The star of the trio, and which I don't think they should say this, but the star of the trio is the new Hidden Valley Fire Ranch sauce, a fiery twist.
A Travis McElroy of sauces.
Of a fiery twist on America's favorite ranch, inspired by the passion of Taco Bell and Hidden Valley Ranch fans. More than just a sauce, it's a groundbreaking innovation that blends the iconic flavors fans love from both brands.
So words just don't mean anything anymore, huh?
Ranch are.
But you're throwing out groundbreaking innovation like you just cured something or figured out how to reach the moon.
You ready? Yeah. Taylor Montgomery is going to lay it out for you like this. Not to be disposed of for granted, but here's Taylor's read. As the inventors of nacho fries, Taco Bell is fully aware that reinventing an American classic with a Taco Bell twist is a responsibility we don't take lightly.
Wow.
But in a world dominated by chicken cravings, it was time to show the world how Taco Bell does chicken nuggets. Unexpected and undeniably bold, the crispy chicken nuggets deliver a crispier, more flavorful nugget experience, and combined with the Hidden Valley Fire Ranch sauce, we hope it will test people's devotion to their favorite nuggets.
I am moved by the passion and dedication shown in that. Like, that feels like a speech that, like, the president gives, like, climbing on top of the car to be like, the aliens are coming. And you know what? It's time for Taco Bell to get into the chicken nugget game. And I'm in it. I'm moved.
But when McDonald's did bratwurst for a little while, and people would come in, it probably wasn't like super confusing because the name of the restaurant isn't Burger Clown or Hamburger Clown.
Yeah.
But when people go to Taco Bell, they're going to be confused about this extremely not taco or even this taco adjacent.
Griffin, this is where I am really getting hung up now, because they sell the fries and they sell the chicken nuggets and they sell the pizza. I'm worried that they're starting to lose touch with their like authentic Mexican foods.
Oh, no.
Yeah, man. I mean, yeah, for sure.
You know?
I think there's a danger there for sure.
There is a danger of that.
Can I tell you what's tripping me up? And I have just realized, because it's been a long, long time since I've been to a Taco Bell or eaten Taco Bell.
Yeah. Why?
Do you think that they have...
Why?
Just haven't. There's not one near me. Do you think that there's ketchup available at Taco Bell?
Yes.
How confident are you in that?
Are you confident, Griffin?
That there's ketchup at Taco Bell? Let me check. Do they sell French fries?
They sell nacho fries.
Remind me again. Do they sell French fried taters?
Nacho fries. They have nacho fries.
Okay. Well, they'll have the ketchup for them.
You seem very confident.
Justin, you look like you're Googling this, and I need you to confirm if you're Googling this or not.
No, don't dox my address and tell me where the closest. Don't send me Taco Bell. I don't want any Taco Bell.
I'm just saying it's not that far, Trav. It's far enough. Close. It's like you could get there. I'm just demonstrating.
If it was next door, Justin, if I lived inside of Taco Bell, I would go get some right now.
I'm at the Pizza Hut. I'm at the Travis House. I'm at the combination Taco Bell and Travis House.
I'm trying to figure out if Taco Bell has ketchup.
Can we call Taco? When are you guys?
Can we call time out on the? Yes, they have ketchup at Taco Bell. I see a picture of it now, next to the mild sauce and the fire sauce.
There's ketchup. Say it with passion, Griffin.
So there is ketchup at Taco Bell.
You can go to Taco Bell right now and get the nuggets. So let us know what you think.
I want to know how spicy they are. Like on a, if you're a child, like imagine a child is eating it.
Right. Yeah. You can text Travis that.
No.
Okay. Here, let's one more question. Once a year, I do a Christmas show for some local theaters. We dress up as characters and deliver a little pre-show before the movie, White Christmas. We have someone who dresses as Santa, Mrs. Claus, and Cousin Eddie. I dress up as Yukon Cornelius, who's popular enough but doesn't have the same depth as those other characters. I'm also not great at improv, and I also find myself letting my fellow actors carry the performance when unexpected things happen. How can I stand out of the crowd and deliver a memorable performance?
Rules.
That's from Cornelius in Cincinnati.
This is so good. Such a good question. Thank you. Thank you for this.
You are...
I mean, I would love to pretend to be Yukon Cornelius for an hour. I feel like improv-wise, it wouldn't be funny, but I would have the time of my life.
We need Here's to establish who this is for the people who were not...
Oh, we love Silver and Gold from the Rankin-Bass movie, Rudolph.
Yeah.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
He needs a prospector who says, Bumbles bounce!
That's very good, Justin. Here's the thing. One thing you gotta know about Yukon Cornelius, that's a haunted man. Because what we don't talk about a lot is, there were 12 of them when they started out on this track to find gold. He's the only one left. What has he been through? He falls off... into a cliff with the bumble. What happens down there? We don't know. So while everyone else is improving their scene, I want you to have just a dark backstory and have him stare off an empty-eyed.
It sounds like you're doing that already, which is great.
I just want to be, Trav, I hate to challenge what you're saying, but I did watch the film recently.
Uh-huh.
And we do know what Yukon Cornelius did once the bumble and he fell off.
Oh, that's right, yes.
What did he do?
He pulled his teeth out, Justin.
He pulled his teeth out, kids. Yukon Cornelius removed the Bumble's one method of feeding himself.
Really broke his spirit, too.
And then get this. Yukon Cornelius is like, you're never going to believe it, but Bumbles are really easy to get along with, and they want to help us. I bet!
Yeah, when you mutilate
him. It's a shame I didn't find that out before I pulled all his teeth out.
I still have my nails. I don't want you to pull those out too, Yukon.
All of his teeth were flat like a cow's. It turns out he's a bleeping.
He said, I only eat carrots. And then he said, I only eat carrots. You couldn't understand him anymore.
Anyways, watch him put the star on the tree.
He got my
now,
way.
Now, mush him his food. Real good for him.
He got my way while I was trying to accumulate wealth. I'm the good guy.
Wait, hold on. Yukon Cornelius removed all of Bumble's teeth? Wait, I can't believe he would do that when he knows the only dentist on the planet.
Yeah.
That's the other thing that's twisted about Yukon Cornelius. He knows the one person that invented the idea of pulling teeth out.
Right.
And this guy doesn't even go to you that one guy he knows.
I want to see the deleted scene where after all is done, Hermes like, Yukon, can I talk to you over here for a minute? Hey, man, what's that about? Like, you know I'm trying to set up a business here, trying to establish myself. You couldn't float me some business my way? You couldn't be like, hey, Hermie, show them how good you are. Pull your teeth out. You trying to step to my territory, man?
Pull your own teeth out, Hermie.
Come on,
You're
man.
You're such a great dentist.
What are you doing? Do you see me out there trying to mine up silver and gold? No, I recognize that that's your thing. This is my thing. Come on, man. Show some respect.
Yeah, so anyway, this is all really good stuff. Just use these jokes.
Yeah.
It's no problem.
Just between every sentence, just go, Bumble! It shut and point at the back of the theater. Sorry, I thought I saw a Bumble.
Sorry. Oh, when it gets dark and cold out there and you got to eat your fellow mind. Sorry, what were you saying, Cousin Eddie?
I said to sleep within a Bumble carcass once.
You thought they smelled bad on the outside. They smell wonderful on the inside. I love doing it. I do it when I don't need to. I'm setting up an Airbnb inside a Bumble. One of the bees is for Bumble.
Okay, guys. Listen, thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting us. Thanks for one more plug.
Why I've orphaned so many Bumbles.
The Candle Knights plug is important.
bit.ly/CandleKnightsTickets 2024. Please go do that if you haven't done it. You can watch it until, I don't know, first week of January.
January 4th.
Bit of a slower year on ticket sales, and Harmony House genuinely really could use some help funds wise. So
if you already streamed, if you want to hop back in there and kick in a few more bucks, that would be killer.
Or if you had a great time and you have friends who you know would love it, tell them about it. share the link with people. Make sure they check it out. It's a great cause and a great show. Make sure to share it with folks. Also want to let you know, Champions Grove 2025 packages are on sale now. That's the immersive gaming event that I did last year. Doing it again this year at Ravenwood Castle in Hocking Hills, Ohio.
Don't sleep on it. It's really fun.
Thank you. You can go to championsgrove.com for all the information and get your packages there to come and hang out with us May 23rd through the 26th. It's going to be a great time. Also, we got merch, if you haven't checked it out, macroymerch.com, including some Candlelights merch over there. 10% of merch sales this month are also going to go to Harmony House, so make sure you check that out. Get your Funglore merch before the season ends. We've also got a Miggy merch bundle over there with a mug and a sticker for $25, so go check it out.
Yep.
We should also say, reminder, there's not going to be any new episodes the 24th through the 30th. So no My Brother and Me next week, no McRoy shows, but we'll be back in the new year.
Yeah, so this is our last wish of the year for Funglore.
Wow.
Oh yeah, I should have remembered to pull it.
Wow, you really didn't, did you? I wish
this is from Griffin.
I wish for Funglore to get Funglore's wishes heard.
Wow.
No, Griffin. Actually, Griffin, that would cause a feedback
I
loop.
Set him free. Funglore, we're listening to your wish now. That's what you don't know about 20 Funglore, is in 20 Fungalive, he is going to actually need something from you this time.
Wow.
And saying that sentence out loud, I just realized I am going to be pushing for 20 Fungalive. And that's,
oh, wow. Okay, well, that'll be a stirring way to return. My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
What a cliffhanger.
Yeah. This has been My Brother, Me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.